Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Great to have you with us. We're really glad that you made it, especially if you're a visitor. If today's your first time with us ever, welcome. My name is Bert. I'm one of the pastors here. And today we're diving back into a series of messages called How to Grow Your Heart Three Sizes at Christmas. And the idea is, as we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, wouldn't it be cool if we actually became a little bit more like Jesus in our lives, right? So in week one, we talked about the area of generosity. We want to grow our heart three sizes in this area. And we do that by moving from generosity 101 to generosity 201. You guys remember the difference? Generosity 101 happens when we see a need and we just react emotionally. When you hear of a natural disaster or somebody that's gone through something really difficult, or you learn of something terrible that's happened, you react. Your emotions get involved and you don't have a wrestling match with the money. You just give because you want to help and you know that you can. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and we need to keep doing that. But there's another level of generosity, generosity 201. That happens when people decide, I'm going to be generous week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, whether there's a need in front of me or not, whether there's something going on, whether there's a tragedy or something to respond to, I'm just going to decide to be generous all the time. That's generosity 201, and it's generosity 201 that makes generosity 101 possible. That's what we covered in week one. And then last week, we talked about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the second area where we want to grow our heart three sizes at Christmas. And we talked a little bit, if you were here last week, we talked a little bit about what happens when we take offense, when we carry a grudge, and what that does to our soul. We gave a little analogy with the Trojan horse last week. And then at the end, we talked about charging the accused, dropping the charges, and dismissing the case. That's how we kind of operate in forgiveness and walk in forgiveness. And so we're not saying any of that is easy, but these are the areas where we want to try to grow our heart three sizes at Christmas. And today we're diving into our third area where we want to grow our heart three sizes, and that area is compassion. We want to grow in compassion. Now, compassion sometimes gets a bad rap, right? Particularly among men. Men sometimes don't want to respond well when it comes to compassion, because compassion, and forgive me, I'm going to speak in stereotypical terms. Please don't email me. I don't want to get in trouble, okay? But sometimes compassion is seen as a more feminine trait. Men, that's not to say it's all the time. I've known some very compassionate men. I've known some very hard-hearted females. It's not all the time, but often men look at compassion almost like it's a weakness. Men sometimes take the attitude of, look, I don't ask anybody to feel bad for me. I'm not feeling bad for anybody else. Got to go figure it out, right? Men sometimes take that stance with it. And compassion, when you say the word compassion to a man, a lot of times he conjures up images of like a TV commercial with Sally Struthers talking about Save the Children, and there's like Sarah McLachlan music is playing in the background, and everybody's crying, and you're like, please, oh, save the child. You're like, oh, come on. You know? So men sometimes see compassion almost as a weakness, and the truth is, it takes a lot of mental toughness to be compassionate. It takes a lot. You have to be tough to be compassionate. And the reason you have to be tough to be compassionate is because to be compassionate, you actually have to take your eyes off of yourself for a minute. Follow? Let's define the word. Compassion is defined as concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. Concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. If you're gonna have concern for others, if you're gonna feel something someone else is feeling, you're gonna have to pick your eyes up off of yourself. And you're gonna have to press pause on the me show. Know what I'm talking about? You know the me show? You should know it. You're the star of it. Okay? Many people live their life and it's all about them. It's just whatever they can get and what they can have and how they can acquire and how they can gain advantage. And it's the me show, buddy. And it's all about them. And when you know people like this, you know some people like this. These are people that tend to suck all the air out of the room when they enter it. Right? These are people, like, they'll be embedded in a conversation. You can almost see when a person is doing this. These are people in the conversation. They're listening, and they're just waiting for their turn to turn things back around to them. They're talking, they're engaged, but there's a mental script running. They don't even often know that it's running, but there is a mental script in the back of their head that basically says, when can I make this about me again? Okay, you're talking. Oh, you did that happened to you? Oh, that reminds me of the time when something happened to me. Let's get back to me. Right? That happens. And you know people like this. You can tell someone is around you who's like this when you hear that quiet, gentle sucking sound. Okay? They get near you and you'll just start to hear, because they're just all about them. They just make life all about them. Right? Now, you know some people like that. And I know you're laughing because you know they're here maybe. So it's awkward. I get that. Don't point. But we all know somebody who's like that, and the truth is, you know and I know, people like that are incapable of compassion. You can't be compassionate when you're inward bound. Did you follow that? You can't be compassionate when you're all about you, when you're just all about what you're going through, or your issues, or your problems, or what you did, or what happened to you. It's all, when you're just, compassion's out the window. You can't be compassionate when you're like that. So we find ourselves over and over and over again in the scriptures being challenged to live an outward bound life, to live a life where we care for others and live to help others and be a blessing to others. And we're called to this, and this shouldn't be too complicated a concept. We're called to be compassionate because Jesus was compassionate, right? Like, in case that went by too fast, if you're a believer, and I'm not identifying all of you. Some of you wouldn't self-identify as a Christian, but if you're a Christ follower, that means in some measure in your life, you've kind of said, I want to be like Jesus. Yes? We need to be like Jesus. That's a missing thing in the church today. I'm sorry to say that it's true, but it's true. Jesus was known for love and mercy. The only people Jesus ever took to school, the only people Jesus ever had a real issue with were judgmental people. If you look at the scriptures, those are the only people Jesus ever dresses down and spanks them, you know? Like, those are the only people Jesus does that with. And yet, Christians kind of throughout our nation are known most for being judgmental and being angry and being ticked off. We need to be like Jesus, right? So we're going to turn now. There's this verse in the Gospel of Mark. Some of you guys may remember a year ago we did a message series called The Story. And when we parked in the Gospel of Mark, we visited the story of a leper who we named Steve. Anybody remember that? Okay, like two of you. That's awesome. So we had this story. There's this guy in the Gospel of Mark that comes to Jesus. He has leprosy, this horrible disease, and he comes to Jesus for healing, and we didn't know. The Bible doesn't tell us his name or really anything about him. But so what we did was we sort of invented a possible backstory, what his life might have looked like to help us better understand what he was going through. And this guy basically walks up on Jesus and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you want to, you could heal me. And this is how Jesus responds. This is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. So Jesus reaches out and touches this guy, and he does this because he is moved with compassion. He feels something for the guy, and he feels something for the guy that very few other people are feeling. And the reason that not that many people are feeling compassionate for this guy is because it was widely believed in this era that if you had leprosy, you had it because God was punishing you for something you did. So that the widely interpreted reason for why this guy, Steve, had leprosy was because he deserved it. He obviously, to the know-it-all judges in the crowd, had done something to warrant that punishment. So when he came to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean, what was rising up in many of the people watching this interaction was they expected Jesus to look at the guy and go, no, buddy. You got exactly what you deserved. That's what people were thinking. They were waiting for Jesus to respond that way, and Jesus doesn't respond that way. Jesus is moved with compassion. He feels something for this guy. His heart is moved. He's not inward bound. He's outward bound. He loves this guy. He has no reason to, but he feels something. He doesn't judge him. And this is, guys, it's not rocket science. This isn't even about religion. This is about being like Jesus. Right? So if that's not enough of a reason for you, let's just break it down like this, real simple. In Luke chapter 6, it comes across like this. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 36. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Can we just tee up right there? Just pause, okay? We could almost, like, that's it, right? We close in prayer and be done. You must be, you're hoping that I will, because you want to. You must be, you must be compassionate, okay? This is a commandment. Jesus was compassionate. Your heavenly Father is compassionate. If you're going to be like Jesus, if you're going to imitate him, you got to be like him, right? That's not rocket science, is it? Did that go by too fast? If you're going to be like Jesus, you got to be like Jesus. Be compassionate, just as your heavenly Father is compassionate. Verse 37, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Now stop right there. What's really interesting about this passage is that Jesus talks about all the areas where we need to grow our heart three sizes. He talks about compassion, he talks about forgiveness, and he talks about generosity, all in this area, all embedded in a talk about being outward bound. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Compassion is, in fact, the opposite of judgment, right? Now, if you come to church here a lot, you know, we talk a lot here about not being judgmental, right? And if you're new, that's one of the things we work hard on. We all, our position at this church, if we are saved, we are saved by God's grace, not because we're awesome or we're holy or we're righteous. We are saved by God's grace. So we have no platform from which to judge another. Follow? Everybody with that? I'm getting a lot of quiet. You guys get that concept, right? Okay. We don't judge others, but that's just the start. That's just the start. Not judging someone is a great start, but we are called to go further. We are called not only to not judge others, we are called to cross the demilitarized zone of indifference and move in to compassion for those people. We are called not only to not judge, but to cross the demilitarized zone of indifference and feel compassion for people. So not judging someone is when you go, okay, look, I don't know you, I don't like you, I have a problem with what you do and how you live, but we can coexist. That's what not judging someone is, okay? It's very big of us. Nice, right? Okay? That's not judging someone. Judging is when we say, you, and you, like we kind of dress them down and take their inventory and claim superiority. That's judging. So we start with don't judge. We're called to move past not judging across our own indifference and getting to a point where we go, not only am I not going to judge you, maybe it might occur to me that you're in pain. Maybe it might occur to you that whatever it is that's causing the thing that I disagree with is because you were injured. Maybe there's a story behind what's going on with you. Maybe the fact that you bother me so much is reminding me of something that's wrong with me. I didn't say that in either of the first two services. That was for somebody here. I don't know who, but there's that. So we're called to be compassionate as Jesus is compassionate. And this is the difference between compassion 101 and compassion 201. Right? We talked about giving 101 and giving 201. We talked about those things, right? Giving 101 happens in spasms. We have spasms of generosity when we see a need, and generosity 201 is when we decide we're going to be generous all the time. Same thing with compassion. Compassion 101 is when we have spasms of compassion. We see an issue, we run across a person who has gone through a terrible thing, or we encounter somebody and learn of their story, and our heart is moved, and for a minute, we feel compassion, and we empathize, and we emulate, and it's beautiful, and we for a minute see the person as Jesus sees them. But what typically happens after that moment is we move back into a life of me first. We steer back, and we it's a caricature, and we made fun of that theoretical person, but we all have it in us to be a little bit like that, right? Mumble grumble, yeah. We all have it in us to be a little bit like that. So what God's calling us to do is to be a little bit more outward bound and say, okay, like this person that's struggling, this is somebody that has a backstory. This is someone who God is calling me to love, and not just in a spasm, not just 101 level compassion, but compassion 201. Compassion 201 is where it is your default mode that when you're talking to somebody, you're trying to understand what's going on with them. And you can't do that when you're inward bound. You can't really care about another. You can't look to the needs of another. You can't look to be a blessing to another when you're all about you. Just can't do it. So when you're inward bound and you're all me first and you're all like this, when another person comes to you, it's gonna be impossible for you to see their pain. Compassion 201 is when we decide, I'm gonna make compassion my default mode. And that's not because of weakness, that's because of toughness. It's hard to be compassionate. Hard work requires that you cowboy up and get your eyes off of you and look to the needs of another. Listen to this from Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Over and over again, we're shown in the scripture, don't live an inward bound life. Don't be all about you. Take an interest in other people. Care for other people. Live your life in such a way that you're outward bound. And by the way, this compassion thing, this helps a lot with what we talked about last week, right? Last week we talked about forgiving those who have injured us, dropping the charges and dismissing the case. Not an easy thing unless you understand the concept of compassion. It's the hardest thing in the world to be compassionate towards someone who hurt you, yes? Very difficult. Very, very difficult. But some of you have been there. You've experienced it, right? Because what happens is, without compassion, when we are inward-centered, we have no choice but to pass the pain along. And that's what happened to everybody who came before you. There ended up to be some pain in your life, right? There was some abuse. Somebody abused you or hurt you or betrayed you or injured you or took something from you in some way. Somehow, somebody brought pain to you. And what happens is, when a person receives pain, when they are injured or abused or harmed by another, what happens is the pain turns them inward. They think, poor me, look at what happened to me. They get all like inward bound and bound up. And then what do most people do when they've been hurt? What do most people do to other people after they've been hurt? They hurt others. You've heard that before, haven't you? Hurt people, right? So what happens is, when we are abused, when we are injured, when the world mistreats us, and when people mistreat us, even people we love, when we're mistreated and we're abused and we're injured, our tendency, if we're not really careful, our tendency is gonna be to go inward and then to pass that hurt on to somebody else. But you do have a choice in the matter. You can be the one who breaks that cycle of pain. Yeah, you were injured. Yes, you were abused, you were harmed. And I don't mean to make light of that. That is a serious matter. That is no joke. But if you can come to a point where you can understand the following: that person who hurt you, they were themselves hurt. That person who abused you, they were themselves abused. They learned that somewhere. You follow? Yeah, I know. Your father was a train wreck. Your father abused you. Your mom had serious issues. Your mom abused you. They learned that from their mom or their dad. That was passed on to you. And now you have an opportunity. You can be the one to break that cycle. You have it within your power to say, because of the gospel, I'm not gonna pass that on. I'm gonna learn to have compassion. I'm gonna look at that person, and that doesn't mean you excuse it. That doesn't mean you say, oh, it's okay. That doesn't mean, oh, well, you had a reason, so it's no big deal. It doesn't, you don't become an enabler. You don't wipe that under, sweep it under the carpet and forget it. You just learn to say, yeah, you hurt me and that was seriously wrong. But oh, you poor man, somebody must have done that to you along the way too. I'm not gonna react inward bound, I'm gonna react outward bound. When you react inward bound to pain and abuse, it sucks you inward and you pass the pain on to somebody else. When you live your life outward bound, It allows the chain of abuse to stop. It allows that pain. You're the last person on the relay race. You just decide, yeah, I got handed all this garbage. I'm not passing that on to somebody next to me. I'm not going to pass that on to my kids. I'm not going to pass that. I'm not going to take this out on my spouse. I'm not going to take this out on the world around me. I'm going to lay that thing down at the feet of Jesus and say, you carry it. I don't even want this anymore. That is not easy. I'm not claiming that is easy, but I'm going to tell you, if you're going to pull it off, compassion is required. Guys, listen, generosity is huge. Forgiveness is huge, but it is compassion that makes us truly Christ-like. Generosity, huge. Forgiveness, huge. It's compassion that makes us truly Christ-like. Listen to this from the book of Romans. This is Romans chapter 12. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Oh my gosh, we could just do a whole sermon on that, couldn't we? Don't just pretend. Don't just be there in that conversation pretending to listen, waiting for your chance to make it about you. Don't enter the interactions you have with other people from a position of emotional deficit. Don't come in needy. Come in knowing that you're loved. Enter that equation from a place of being outward bound. Be full in the knowledge that you have been forgiven, that you have been cleansed, that God truly, really, seriously does love you. And make it your goal to pass that love on to somebody else. You will be blown away at how good it feels when you grow your heart three sizes that way. You're just going to be blown away by it. Then you can go, oh, okay, cool. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Okay, got it. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all, Long Island. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can do to live at peace with everyone. And finally, verse 21, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. This is hard. If we are able to do these things, it's because we do them in response to the cross. We see the cross, we see that Jesus died for our sins, that God sacrificed his only son that we might go free, and we see that amazing sacrifice and we then respond to it and we say, I'm not gonna live inward bound, I'm gonna live outward bound. In the immortal words of the great theologians, the Counting Crows. It's a long December, but there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last. You want 2016 to be better than 2015? Grow your heart three sizes at Christmas. Watch what happens when you expand your horizons, when you stop living all about you, when you truly follow not just the words of Jesus, but the way of Jesus. To look to the world around you from a position of love and compassion and not inward bound thinking. It changes everything. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We do. And we thank you for compassion, for this gift. We know that compassion is itself a gift from you. And so we pray that you'll quicken our hearts to have that for others. We know that you forgive us much. We know that your heart beats with compassion, and we see that you call our hearts to beat with compassion. And so we just ask for your help in that. It doesn't come naturally. It comes naturally to be selfish. It comes naturally to us to be petty. It's natural for us to not forgive and be inward bound and bind all that those things up inside of ourselves and pass it along to somebody else. Father, we don't want to live that way. And we know you don't want us to live that way. So quicken our hearts, Father. Create faith within us that we might trust that stuff into your hands and that we might operate with the world around us in love and in compassion as Jesus did. Amen.